From Radio Deutsche Welle, it's Melody Time. We invite you to join us for half an hour of light classical music. Hello, and welcome to the program. I'm Diane Erickson. For our first piece today, we present a true classic, the Dornbacher Ländler by Josef Lanner. Ländler was the term Lanner used for all his compositions in 3/4 time in his early days. When he was in his early 20s, the dance halls in and around Vienna couldn't get enough of his music. Lanner's early compositions came in quick succession and weren't very carefully counted until around 1825, when his dances began to appear in print. With his Opus 9, Lanner won the hearts not only of the people of Dornbach, a rural community in the Vienna forest, but throughout Vienna. Dornbacher Ländler by Josef Lanner.
Thank you.
Johannes Wildner conducted the Johann Strauss Ensemble of the Vienna Symphony Orchestra in the Dornbacher Ländler by Josef Lanner. Lanner was a self-taught violinist and composer. He passionately loved the operas of Mozart and made numerous potpourri arrangements of opera melodies by the great master. Arrangements of the latest music were very much the thing at the time, and all dance musicians liked to rework new melodies from stage productions, either for dances or concert performance. The Strauss father and sons also liked to keep their audiences up to date with the latest opera melodies. A fine example is Verdi's opera A Masked Ball, which premiered in Rome in 1859 and was presented in Germany for the first time in 1862. A notable gala concert just a few months after the German premiere featured melodies from the opera arranged as a quadrille. The arranger, Johann Strauss Jr. A fabulous success for both Strauss and Verdi.
Thank you.
with melodies from Verdi's opera Un ballo in maschera, a quadrille arranged by Johann Strauss the Younger, performed by the Vienna Philharmonic under Claudio Abbado at the traditional New Year's Day concert in Vienna. 10 years after the premiere of this Verdi Strauss quadrille, the Waltz King from Vienna committed himself to completing a special composition for the opening of the Suez Canal on November 17, 1869. This was not a major problem for Strauss, however, and his Egyptian March was submitted on time. Shortly thereafter, Verdi was asked to write an opera for Cairo's new opera house and was asked to name his terms. He said no, and no again, and then perhaps, before finally deciding in May of 1870 to go ahead with the project. The result premiered in Cairo in 1871, Aida. Here's one of the famous melodies from that opera, sung by Plácido Domingo, Celeste Aida, Lovely Aida.
Se quel guerriere io fossi, se il mio sogno si avverasse. Nell'esercito di Prodi l'avrei guidato. Yeah.
Celeste Aida, from Giuseppe Verdi's opera Aida. Verdi was always and has remained one of the truly great opera composers of all time. But for some, fame and fortune can disappear overnight. Take the playwright and pugnacious journalist August von Kotzebue, for example. If you just said to yourself, August von who? Don't worry, Kotzebue is almost unknown today. But 200 years ago, he was one of the most successful men of letters of his generation, and even the great Johann Wolfgang von Goethe recognized him as a rival. Nowadays, his name lives on only in his function as a librettist for two famous composers. Albert Lortzing adapted one of Kotzebue's 200 works for his comic opera, Der Wildschütz. And in 1812, Ludwig van Beethoven accepted a commission to write the music for two of Kotzebue's pieces, King Stefan and The Ruins of Athens. A Turkish flavor was very popular at the time, so Beethoven took the opportunity to write a wonderful Turkish march for The Ruins of Athens. And I'm sure you'll agree that its lasting popularity is well deserved. Beethoven's Turkish March from The Ruins of Athens, a stage play by August von Kotzebue. Paul Strauss conducted the Orchestre de Liège. Today's program has taken us on a musical round trip from old Vienna to Italy, then to the Egyptian Suez Canal, and from there to the ruins of Athens. And to complete our travels, an excursion to England in the company of the Strauss family. Back in the England of Queen Victoria, the name Strauss was very well known. Strauss the father traveled several times to England, complete with orchestra, and was even officially received at Buckingham Palace. Joseph, one of his sons, was not so fond of traveling abroad and only went there once. But having made it that far, stayed for 3 months and was an incredible success. And as for Johann's younger brother, Edward, he went to England 3 times. That was certainly significant in light of the fact that making the trip was considerably more difficult in his time than nowadays. For his first English performance, Edward gave his delighted audience a musical present, a polka entitled Old England Forever. The music was so well received that the orchestra had to repeat it not once, but twice. The following day, the music critic for the Times remarked sternly that the polka was a great deal more Viennese than it was English, and that the title, Old England Forever, was hardly justified. But fortunately for Edward, such killjoy remarks did nothing to dampen the public's enthusiasm. John Georgiades conducts the London Symphony Orchestra in our performance concluding today's Melody Time.
Thank you.
England Forever by Edward Strauss. That's all for today's program. Barbara Anders compiled the program. Savas Pavlidis was the studio engineer and Rick Folker the producer. I'm Diane Erickson. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for Melody Time, a presentation of Radio Deutsche Welle, Cologne.